Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good time edition of the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. Thank you for waking up with us. Always love having you along for the ride on this Friday. Coming up, we'll cover everything from Thursday night football to yesterday's playoff baseball action, including a brilliant performance from a Yankees rookie. Pick six coming your way in 20 minutes. Our favorite plays on the gridiron. And then we wrap things up with a Dongster at 8:40. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Welcome to our audience on Stadium as we stream our final hour. We're doing that on X as well. And if you want to stream us, you can do so by going to BallySportsLive.com or downloading the Bally Sports Live app. Last night, out west, the Niners outlast the Rams in overtime, Chelsea, 26-23. The Niners getting 8.5 points. Niners plus 350 total set at 44 and a hook. The over hits. The Niners were so shorthanded going into this game. No Brandon Ayuk, no Ricky Pearsall, no Juwan Jennings, no George Kittle, and yet they still have CMC.
Playing good football.
Been a 16-minute beatdown, and the pass is caught by McCaffrey for the touchdown.
That is Al Michaels on Amazon Prime. Christian McCaffrey, 8 catches, 82 yards, and a score while rushing 22 times for 57 yards. The Rams did have a chance to put this game away in regulation, but Kyren Williams fumbles at the Niners' 1. So the teams trade field goals instead. We go to overtime. The Niners get a field goal again, so they lead by 3. Rams get the ball back. It's a 4th-and-1 from the San Francisco 11. Instead of tying it at 26, the Rams decide to go for it, and Williams gets stuffed. Game over. Chelsea, the Niners with a huge upset, and when it was over, Sean McVay immediately took the blame for that 4th-and-1 call.
Yeah, that was a tough way to end it. But the Rams have nobody to blame but themselves. When you lose the football and have 2 fumbles lost and you miss a field goal, you can't do that against a team that is as well-coached as the Niners. And going back to the Niners for a second, because they are the winners, and I do think that Kyle Shanahan absolutely deserves his flowers for this game. He came into here to this game with a very depleted roster, but the best coaches in the NFL make the most with the least. And that's exactly what Kyle Shanahan did here. Starting with the scripted drive that they started the game on, where they marched down the field and immediately put 6 points on the board. And Mac Jones, what a game from him. I do think Kyle Shanahan put him in a great position to succeed, but he was the guy pulling the strings, and he did a great job. 33 of 49, 342 yards through the air, and 2 touchdowns. So Mac Jones is making a comeback, folks. I don't know if he's going to usurp Brock Purdy in the pecking order, but he's exactly what the Niners needed last night.
Yeah, I think this is a good point you made earlier, which is the media, us, the damn media. You know, we'll make a big deal about, Mac Jones. And I will say, Mac Jones has looked really good in 3 starts for the Niners, right? He's 3-0. He's thrown for 905 yards, 6 touchdowns, only 1 pick. And so we'll say, should it be Mac Jones instead of Brock Purdy? But at the end of the day, the Niners put a massive investment into Brock Purdy. So once he's healthy and gets past that toe injury, he's going to be the starter again.
Yeah, absolutely. And plus, like, he's led this team to a Super Bowl. But going back to Kyle Shanahan, like, you look at this game, and I think a lot of us were surprised by the result because, you know, the line of this game was 8.5. But again, when you have a head coach that is such an offensive mind, we've seen him do great things with this offense, even with quarterbacks who are not generational. Because remember, didn't he take Jimmy Garoppolo to a Super Bowl? And like nobody's looking at Jimmy Garoppolo and being like, oh, you know, he's an ex Tom Brady, even though he is very good looking. And obviously he did come from the Tom Brady quarterback tree when he played in New England. But when you look at this game as well, you do need to give some credit to the players, because we hear this all the time in football where they say it's the next man up mentality. And I feel like sometimes that is empty. But even within this game, the Niners lost two defensive linemen to injuries, and it was next man up. This defense held their own until the very end, limiting the Rams to only 23 points is a very fine job by a depleted Niners team. So the players deserve credit, too.
Also, a massive win for Vegas. I read before the game, Vegas really needs a Niners cover. And a Niners win would be huge for the books. So they cleaned house yesterday. Mm. Because remember, this number opened at Rams -7, went to Rams -8.5 by game time. So big win for the guys out in Sin City. What did we see yesterday in baseball? Man, the playoffs and the postseason in the majors have been fantastic. Let's begin in the Boogie Down, where the Yankees blanked the Red Sox 4-0. Yankees -155 on the money line. Total set at 8. The under hits. Scoreless in the fourth when the Pinstripes bats go to work.
On the ground. That's off the glove of the first baseman, Lowe. One run is in. Here comes Chisholm. Two runs are in. Yankees now lead it 4-0.
Call courtesy of ESPN. Yankees on top 4-0, as you heard. And what a show by the rookie, Cam Schlittler. Strikes out 12 batters over 8 shutout innings. His previous strikeout high was 7. He reaches 100 miles an hour on the gun 11 times in this game. And he is the first Yankees pitcher in history with no runs, no walks, and 10 or more strikeouts. What a performance. Grew up in Boston, but says he always wanted to play for the Yankees, so this was a dream for him.
Oh, absolutely. Like, this is a very impressive performance, even if it was a regular season game against the Marlins. The fact that you go 8 innings, 12 strikeouts, and no walks on any day of the week, that is a fantastic start. But to do this as a young guy in an elimination game against your bitter rivals, man, this guy has absolutely earned his pinstripes. I know that's the running joke about Yankees players, is that you have to earn your pinstripes. Mm-hmm. Well, Cam Schlitter absolutely earned his last night.
Yeah, he was just so, so good. And I love that he got advice from Andy Pettit before the game. The Yankees great, who has 19 postseason wins, which I believe is a major league record. And Pettit said, hey, whatever you do, just get a good night's sleep. That's what you need to do. Sleep well. And it sounds really basic, but it's huge when you have so much pressure on you, because this was rookie versus rookie when you looked at the two starters in this game. So for him to come out, he was clearly rested and calm in this game. Aaron Boone said afterwards, a star is born tonight. He's a special kid. He expects this. Do you think we'll see more of this from Schlittler in the postseason, or is this sort of like, all right, he had his moment, but he'll kind of revert to the mean here? It would be hard to replicate this on a regular basis.
Well, I mean, these type of numbers are hard to replicate even for the absolute aces in Major League Baseball. Like, I'm not expecting even Garrett Crochet and Tariq Skubal to put up these type of numbers throughout the postseason, just because, you know, it's such an outlier, especially when you go 8 innings. I am proud of Aaron Boone for letting him stay in the game, because I know people were mad in the first game about taking Max Fried maybe a little out, a little too early, but Aaron Boone standing firm here. And here's the other thing. Like, you talked about Andy Pettit saying, hey, just get a good night's sleep. The fundamentals and the basics are still very important in the postseason, whether it's a good night's sleep or fundamentally sound baseball. You cannot commit 2 costly errors in the postseason and score 0 runs and expect to win a ball game. And the Red Sox had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah, also that play, that defensive play by Ryan McMahon in the 8th for the Yankees, where he runs over and catches the ball in foul territory, past the third baseline, flips into the Red Sox dugout. I mean, that was unbelievable. Yankees and Blue Jays begin their battle in the ALDS tomorrow. Yankees are the dogs in Game 1. Toronto, the money line favorite at -125. Also yesterday, oh, they finally got off the schneid. The Tigers win their series against the Guardians 6-3. Tigers -105 on the money line. Total set at 7. The over hits. We get a 1-1 game in the 6th when the Tigers finally get it going.
Came over with Austin Hedges, Cal Quantrill, Gabriel Arias, Josh Naylor, among others. Here's a well-hit ball to left. by Dingler, way back at the wall, and it is gone!
Call courtesy of ESPN, Dylan Dingler with his first home run of the postseason. Then it is a 4-run 7 for the Tigers as they send 10 batters to the plate. So Chelsea, here's Detroit. They gave up that 15.5 game lead in the AL Central. They squeeze into the playoffs, and they finally get by the Guardians. Are you a believer in Detroit now that they slayed the beast, so to speak?
I think it's definitely a huge mental hurdle for them getting past this series, because it did look like the Guardians had their number. But waiting for them in the wings is the number one offense in all of baseball. And if this is a Tigers team that we have seen over the last few weeks, when it comes to their offense being very pedestrian, it is going to be tough sledding against a Mariners team that can absolutely rake and obviously feast on the long ball when you have Cal Raleigh in the lineup. I will say this, as long as Tarik Skubal is pitching, they're going to have a damn good chance at winning a lot of these games. So that means probably two games out of the next five that we will probably see Tarik Skubal in some way, shape, form, or fashion. It's just, I don't know if I believe in their offense. Like, yeah, they scored 6 runs yesterday, but it feels like the outlier when it comes to last month.
Yeah, I just don't know. Like, they beat a weak Guardians team. And full credit to Cleveland. You know, that was a great run at the end of the season that they had. And, you know, nobody expected that to happen, right? Nobody expected that Tigers collapse. But still, it doesn't give me a lot of confidence in the Tigers just because they won this wild card series. I think they're way outclassed by Seattle. But if Skubal gets the start in game one, which is still a possibility, right now the Tigers are plus 170. So if you like the Tigers and you think there's a chance that Skubal could pitch, that line will change in a hurry if he indeed gets the nod.
Yeah, but I feel like the odds makers know what they're doing.
They have to,
right? I don't think that they would put Tarik Skubal in that position because, you know, the urgency isn't quite as much when it comes to a 5-game series. So I think he will be on the mound for game two. So I don't know who we get for game one, but I will say this. If the Tigers can win game one with, you know, one of their lesser starters going, they're going to be playing with house money going into game two when Tarik Skubal is on the mound. And maybe the one thing going in the Tigers' favor is that the Mariners have had to sit around and wait. And we have seen this be a factor in the MLB postseason before, where even these teams with great offenses, it's tough for them to get going in the first couple games of the postseason because they've just been sitting around.
Well, if you're sitting around, at least they have the big dumper. He's got all that cushion. He can sit for days, weeks at a time. Not a big issue at all. Game one, Tigers, Mariners tomorrow night in the Emerald City. Mariners, big money line favorites, minus 210 at BetMGM. Finally, oh, I'm so jealous. Double D got to go to this game. Cubs over the Padres, 3-1 at Wrigley. The Cubs minus 115 on the money line. Total set at a low 7.5. The under hits. Jameson Taillon, 4 shutout innings for the Cubbies before Chicago wraps things up with 4 different relievers. They've used a lot of arms in the past couple games. And then the crowd at Wrigley Field, including Double D, got to see this in the 7th.
Through 2 games.
That's from ESPN Chicago on top for good, 3-1. The Cubs advance in the postseason for the first time since 2017 for a date with the Brew Crew. And man, what an atmosphere at Wrigley Field. This is playoff baseball.
Oh, absolutely. If there's any team that can sell me on daytime playoff baseball, it's the Cubs, because Wrigley Field is used to this because the Cubs play so many daytime games throughout the regular season. But as good of a story as the Cubs have been, you know, winning this series at home, it's going to be a little different, I think, in the next round when you're not at Wrigley starting that series off, and you've already worn down so many of your pitching options. The fact that you had to go to a bullpen game in game two of the wild card series, I feel like it's not super sustainable for this Cubs rotation and bullpen to keep that going, you know, on to the next round.
Also, can we tip our cap to Dansby Swanson with his defense in the 5th inning of that game? I mean, my God, what a defensive showcase, particularly that double play where he steps on the bag and has to hurdle the runner and then get the out at first. We always focus on the bats and the pitching performance, but defense can be crucial, and we've discussed how just one play can turn a game. That performance in particular was massive. He was just a genius there at short.
Right, and that's why sometimes people are willing to overlook offensive struggles from Dansby Swanson, because he is so damn good at playing shortstop, and that's what you kind of expect from those premium defensive positions like catcher, like shortstop, like center field. So he absolutely, was worth his weight in gold despite going 0-for-3 at the plate.
Yeah, you can still make an impact in the field. He certainly did that yesterday. Cubs and the Brewers meeting tomorrow. It's an early game in Milwaukee, 2:08. So we get college football and playoff baseball. Brewers, the money line favorite at minus 150 with Freddie Peralta on the mound. Coming up next during the show. You know it. You love it. And it's back like we have it every Friday. We're going to head to the gridiron and play pick six, our favorite picks that we like this weekend in college and the pros. She's Chelsea Messenger. I'm Michael Jenkins. This is the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Double T. You know what I was thinking. Coming up on the show, it's finally here. The Doors look for the upset over the Crimson Tide. That's just one of the plays we're on when we pick six. Chelsea, I don't know if you saw this. I bet you did. Remember back in 2014 when 50 Cent threw out the first pitch of the Mets game? I mean, that was one of the worst first pitches you'll ever see, where he threw it and it went like almost shot straight to the side. It was awful. So a few years ago, he said, I should have kept my ass in the stands. That's how bad it was. But he made up for it this week at a Savannah Bananas game. So the Bananas were in Houston and there was a whole production. It was actually pretty cool. So 50 is walking through the dugout onto the field, singing in the club, of course, his classic hit. And then he gets right in the middle of the diamond. The Bananas are behind him, dancing in unison. And then when he finishes, he grabbed a ball and threw out another first pitch. It wasn't great, but it looped and kind of got over the plate, which was 10 times better than his previous pitch. So 50 made up for that debacle more than 10 years ago.
Well, that's, I feel like it's easy to do when the bar is set so low. It's like, as long as you don't hit like the mascot or the camera person who's like 15 feet away from home plate, wow, that's actually pretty good. So it's nice to see that he is improved, because merely practicing, I don't know, maybe once, you should do better than that.
Also, I noticed you talk about marketing opportunity. I read this as well. The Bananas have debuted a new drink called the Branson Banana Blast with Branson Cognac. That's 50s cognac. Now the official spirit of the Savannah Bananas. So it all comes together. Like, now you're seeing behind the curtain, like, oh, now I see why this happened.
It's wild to me how famous the Savannah Bananas have gotten, though.
It's crazy.
Because, like, 50 Cent is an A-lister. Like, a lot of people have heard of 50 Cent. And, like, there were days when the Savannah Bananas were, like, drawing less than, like, minor league baseball. You know, they were not being paid much. It was kind of a deal that, you know, nobody really believed in it at first. And now it feels like they are drawing bigger crowds than a lot of MLB stadiums. It's crazy.
Yo, absolutely. It's wild how much they've been on the come up. And now, before we get to our pick six, you know, as much true crime as I watch, I'll watch just about anything. I don't know if I'm going to watch this. 50 has a new crime series on Fox Nation called 50 Ways to Catch a Killer. I think I'm going to probably... 50 Cent in the true crime game. Well, we got games to talk about because it's a Friday, so let's stack some dubs this weekend.
Pick 6.
six.
Pick six.
All right, I'm ready for this one. Texas, -4.5 at Florida. All of the money is coming in on the Gators. This opened at 7.5. I don't know what's going on. I got to tell you. I don't care. I do not care. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. Look at the Florida defensive line. George Gums Jr., LJ McCray out indefinitely. Aaron Gates, their number one corner, had surgery on his shoulder early this week. He's done. I think people are fading Arch Manning, but he's not going to go crazy and toss 3 or 4 touchdown passes, but he got his confidence back against Sam Houston State. You can laugh at that. That is opponent agnostic. Also, huge for Texas this week. They get Trey Wisner back at running back. Quintrevion Wisner back at running back. Also, Emmett Mosley, the transfer from Stanford, he's going to play, so Arch will have a couple more weapons. DJ Lagway has been so bad for Florida this season. That Texas defense is going to give him all sorts of trouble. And I think there's a real possibility this Gators team has quit on Billy Napier. Easy wading in the swamp. Is that an expression? It is now. Easy wading. You dip your toe in, couple inches deep, you get a dub, you go back to Austin. Texas -4.5 at the swamp.
Ah, it does feel like Texas needs a get-right spot to where they're back in the national conversation because, Jenks, we know you love talking about your Longhorns. Mm-hmm. If you want to watch it, Horns and Gators, taking the field 3:30 Eastern in the swamp.
Pick six.
Pick six.
All right, let's go to the NFL for me and go to the Sunday night football matchup between two AFC East rivals. I'm going to go with the Patriots getting 8.5 on the road at the Bills. I understand that the Bills look like probably the best football team in the NFL this year, but I feel like 8.5 points is too much, especially in a divisional matchup, and especially the way that this Patriots team has been playing. Even last year when this was not a good Patriots team, they covered in each of those matchups against Buffalo, including a matchup where Buffalo was 14-point home favorites and the Bills only won by 3 points. So Buffalo, we've seen, has let worse teams kind of stick around. We saw it in the Saints game. We saw it in the Dolphins game. They didn't cover the number in either of those games, and I think we see more of the same. I think the Patriots are a dog with some bite here. Let's go Patriots plus 8.5.
Yeah, let's go. Way too many points. I'll be with you on that. It is a Sunday night game in Buffalo starting at 8:20 Eastern.
Pick six.
Pick six.
Back to the college game we go. Vanderbilt. Oh, yeah. Vandy plus 10.5 at Bama. Is this a square play? It might be. Sammy P keeps saying that the sharps out in Vegas really like Bama. The numbers should be higher. I don't know if I agree. I'll go against those guys. I'm with our guy, Andrew Cayley from Covers.com, who was on the show this week, and he likes the Commodores as well, so do I. Diego Pavia, he might be cocky, but this guy, if you amputated his left arm, he'd go with his right arm and still play the game. He is just so tough, and that Vanderbilt offensive line is definitely one of the best in the SEC. If you look at the numbers here, Vandy has the second-best offensive success rate in the country. They are really good up front. Clark Lee, one of the better head coaches. He is one of the best head coaches in college football. The fact that he's revived the Commodores and we're talking about them in this space after their win last year against Alabama. They know they can play against the Crimson Tide. And look, huge win last week for Alabama. Getting a win at night between the hedges. First time Georgia has lost a game since 2009 at night. So that was massive for the Crimson Tide. Ty Simpson was incredible in that game. But Vanderbilt knows they can play with Bama. They've got a quarterback who walks the walk and talks the talk. I think Vandy can absolutely keep this within double digits. I'd put a sprinkle on them on the money line. 10.5 is way too many points. Give me the Doors.
It feels almost too obvious to me.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes me a little nervous. But here's the thing. If you watch this game and you don't bet on Vandy and it plays out exactly how you expected, you will be kicking yourself for not taking the 10.5 points. So I do think Vandy can keep it close there. If you want to watch it, it's the 3:30 Eastern kick in Tuscaloosa.
Pick six.
Pick six.
Back to the NFL we go, and let's hope for a bunch of points in the Cowboys and Jets game. Let's go over 47.5 here. And this is what we've seen from the Cowboys all season long, is that their defense is not good. But Dak Prescott can absolutely sling it. And here's the other thing. Because Dak Prescott is throwing the ball so much, this is a team that is one of the fastest tempo teams in the NFL, ranking 7th in pace. Then you look at this Jets offense that should have a nice little get-right spot against the Cowboys defense that's giving up the most passing yards of any defense in the NFL. So I think it's going to be a great game for props. I think Garrett Wilson is a great look. I think George Pickens is a good look as well. I think we see a lot of points in this one. Let's go Cowboys Jets over 47.5.
I like that. And I also kind of like the Jets on the money line here. I know that seems crazy, but at some point they're going to get a win for Aaron Glenn. And they were just so sloppy against the Dolphins. If they can clean that up a little bit, Chelsea, 3 turnovers in that game, 13 penalties. If they clean that up against this Dallas defense, which is so bad, like you talked about, I think they can win outright. So it is a 1 o'clock Eastern start in the Meadowlands on Sunday.
Pick six.
Pick six.
All college for this guy. Miami. Bienvenido a Miami. -4.5. At Florida State. So here's the thing. Florida State, maybe a bounce back spot for these guys after losing in Charlottesville to Virginia. But the one thing that stood out to me in watching that game is that Florida State was really pushed around defensively. And I think that's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem because Miami is so good in the trenches. And that Miami defensive line, this is arguably the best defensive line in the country. They are number one in the nation in adjusted yards per play, led by the spectacular Reuben Bain Jr. I don't know how Florida State is going to move the football against that Miami defensive front. Believe it or not, Miami looks like one of the most complete teams in the country, which is kind of weird to say when you talk about a Mario Cristobal team, because it feels like at least once or twice a year he's going to make one of those head-scratching decisions that maybe costs his team the game. We haven't seen it thus far. And Carson Wentz, or not Carson Wentz, but Carson Beck looks really, really good. You know, I wasn't a huge fan of him at Georgia, but he's been pretty fantastic in Miami, and right now he is the second favorite to win the Heisman Trophy at 9-1 behind Dante Moore. Miami is the more complete team here. I will take them in Tallahassee, so give me the Canes, -4.5.
It's always a great thing when each side of the rivalry has some good things going in its favor. So when we have both teams in the top 25, no matter which side you pick, I'm thankful that both these teams are at least good, because it's always a great thing when rivalries are renewed. Miami and Florida State is a good one. And for me personally, it brings up some demons because, Jinx, this was the game where I got absolutely trucked on national television. So let's hope that I don't relive those memories. But I will always remember Miami and Florida State for that reason. If you want to watch it, a showdown in the Sunshine State at 7:30 Eastern in Tallahassee.
Pick six.
There we go. All right, and finally for me, more points. At least that's what we are hoping between the Lions and the Bengals. So the total is pretty high at 49.5, but we've seen what this Lions offense can do. Even against a very good Cleveland defense, they still put up a 34 spot last week. So when you go against a Bengals defense that can't stop anybody, I am thinking that Detroit probably runs up the score, which we've seen them do that before as well, putting up a 52 spot on Chicago. And here's the thing about Cincinnati. Maybe they don't contribute much to this total here, but I do think this is at least a somewhat easier matchup than what they had last week against Denver. Because when your best weapons are number one receivers, like Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, and you go against a Denver secondary that has the reigning NFL Defensive Player of the Year in Pat Surtain, who is like white on rice all over Ja'Marr Chase, it's just not a good matchup. So it's not like I have, you know, the most faith in Jake Browning, but I do think maybe they can at least contribute to the total here, especially in garbage time, which I do think this game probably gets out of hand. So we're going to go over 49.5 when it comes to the Lions and the Bengals.
Ooh, I am tempted to take the Lions. Well, it opened at Lions -9.5. Now they're sitting at 10.5. But man, that Lions defense is very adept at stopping the run. So when I think of Cincy being forced to throw the ball and I see Jake Browning in the pocket, you know what I see? Interception, interception, interception. At least they're at home. but I would probably lay it with the Lions. I like the over as well. It is a 4:25 Eastern kickoff in Cincy on Sunday. Got a little time left here before we go to the Donkster and hand out our best bets. Is there a lean or two? There's a couple games in college that I'm still looking at that I might add to the card. Is there another game in the pros or in the college game that you like?
I was leaning towards Vanderbilt, and I was wondering if you were going to use it, because if you use it, I don't want to just be an echo chamber. But I do think I'm going to play that one personally. And plus, like, Vandy is the local team here in Nashville. And, like, oh, yeah. God forbid, like, we got nothing to root for the Titans. So I'll be rooting for Vandy this weekend. I'm probably going to play some teasers because I do think there's some good teaser lines. The Colts in a teaser feels like a great play. Laying 7 against the Raiders, you tease it down. It is merely -1. I think that's a good one. And even if you don't believe in my Patriots pick, straight up getting 8.5, you can get them at 14.5 in a teaser. I think they can at least keep it within 14 points against the Bills.
Oh, I think so as well. Divisional matchup. Drake May has looked so good. And it's interesting to me, I think, because a couple years ago when the Commanders had the number 2 pick in the draft, the thought was, are they going to take Drake May? Are they going to take Jaden Daniels? Which guy is it going to be? And I think Jaden Daniels was absolutely the right call, but it looks like both of those guys are on their way to very good pro careers. And Caleb Williams, maybe he's going to step up as well because he's coming off one of his best games ever as a pro. So that's going to be fascinating to watch. But I also think that Mike Vrabel has done a really good job with the Patriots. They're still a work in progress, but you can definitely see improvement comes in fits and starts, and they're trending in the right direction.
Right, and here's, I think, the important point about Mike Vrabel coach teams is that he is one of those coaches in the NFL that can do the most with the least. Like, we saw this with Kyle Shanahan last night, and we saw this with Mike Vrabel the year that he won Coach of the Year. The Titans had the most injuries of any team in the NFL, but when you have a guy like that that's so good at rallying the troops, that's a guy that's going to be in competitive football games, it feels like, every day of the week, even against the best teams in the NFL.
I mean, he's no Brian Callahan. You know, which is, thank God. Thank God. Poor Titans fans, man. Rabel doing well. Callahan, not so much. Coming up next on the show. We're ready for the weekend, but not before telling you our favorite plays on this Friday. Best bets. Donkster coming your way here on the BetMGM Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for being with us throughout the week. Hope you're having a great morning. I'm Michael Jenkins. She is Chelsea Messenger. Best bets coming your way. We'll find out what the doctor is up to, I guess. Chelsea, what's going on this weekend there in Hendersonville, Tennessee, right outside of Nashville? I'm waiting for the lovely Catherine to return. She left yesterday on an overnight trip to Orlando. So her company, her law firm, is having a big get-together in Orlando here in a few weeks. So they sent her down there for a site visit because where they're having this gathering after they have this big conference is Gatorland, which is essentially an alligator theme park and wildlife preserve. So after this big conference, they always have, you know, some place where everyone can socialize, and Gatorland is the place. So the lovely Catherine is very excited because she's going to check the place out, make sure it will work. She's going to hold some reptiles and get some pictures. And I was like, honey, knock yourself out. I am terrified of alligators and crocodiles, anything in that area. That's just not for me. But she loves that kind of stuff. So I'm glad she's enjoying it, but I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, let's just hope she doesn't lose a hand in the process. but you know what else is in Orlando? And I feel like this is a personality-driven question.
Mm-hmm.
Does she love Disney World as an adult?
She doesn't. She's, you
That's
know.
The correct answer.
No. She's people who love Disney, they love Disney. They love Disney. It's like Disneyland every single time they're in the Orlando area. Me, I'm more of a... Isn't Orlando like the strip club capital or something like that? I don't know. I think I heard that
I
once.
Think that's
like,
Tampa.
Is it
Tampa?
Oh,
close.
Trampa. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what I was thinking. Mm. Yeah, she's going to... We got some friends down in Orlando, but she's, you know, she's down there and back. But she will not be visiting the Magic Kingdom. I don't think you're a Disney person either, right?
I am not. Like, okay. It's fine. It's just there's so many people. And honestly, it stressed me out more to take a vacation to Disney World as opposed to going to Europe with a four-year-old daughter.
Oh, God.
Like, that should tell you something. Like, Europe, when we went to, like, Paris and we didn't even speak the language, that was easier than getting on these, like, trams and these shuttles and these big ships where you have to cross the water in Disney World. Like, it's crazy. It is such a stressful experience for the parents.
Oh, God. I can't even imagine. I went to Disney World once as a kid, and it was fine. Like, you know, it was just fine. But it wasn't anything that blew my mind, and I was like, okay, I've done it. It's fine. I might go back as an adult and do the whole, like, Epcot thing, but it's not something I'm really yearning to do, you know?
Well, especially, like, as an adult, like, you can go see the real thing. Like, I don't want to go see, like, Switzerland at Epcot. Like, I want to see the real thing. Because, like, you know those buildings were built, like, I don't know, like, 50 years ago when the ones in Europe were built in, like, the 1300s. I don't want to see replicas.
Well, no, I get that. You're not going to take Blake there just one time? Once?
She's been there. We went there when she was maybe three because she loved Minnie Mouse. Like, that's the reason we went because she was, like, Minnie for, like, 3 years for Halloween. So it felt like one of those things where we wanted to take her when she was still, like, young enough to love that. So we have that checked off our list.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. Been there, done that. Don't have to worry about it. So we get to listen to Bet Sweats instead. Don't have to worry about a vacation to Orlando. And I am, man, the lovely Kathy used to work at the Smithsonian National Zoo here in D.C., and I believe she worked in the reptile area, like with the reptiles, so she's really accustomed. I think that's right, reptiles? Yeah. So she's not scared at all, but no thanks for this guy. I will focus on our bets, which is why I'm looking forward to Bet Sweats with Joe O and Sammy P coming up next. But first, we got to tell you who is on the card this weekend. Let's get to it.
Time to place your bets.
All right, Chelsea. It's been a good week for us, so let's keep it going into the weekend.
All right, best bet for me is going to be on Jets receiver Garrett Wilson. Going to go 60-plus receiving yards here for minus 127 because I am not going to be bitten by the hook again. But listen, Garrett Wilson has a dream matchup this weekend against the Cowboys, who we all know have been giving up a ton of points, but also they've given up the most receiving yards of any defense in the NFL. And plus, when you have a desperation spot for the Jets, you lean on your number one guys. You lean on the big names, and Garrett Wilson is that guy. Plus, it feels like he has a pretty high floor with at least 9 targets in every single game this year, or at least 8 targets, excuse me, in every single game this year with 82, 84, 50, and 95 receiving yards in 4 games this year. I think he's due for a big one. This is a great matchup, a high total in this game. So let's go Garrett Wilson, 60-plus receiving yards for minus 127.
Oh, man, that's such a good play. Your prop bets have been hitting at a pretty high clip, so I'll probably tell you on that one. I have 2 bets on the card, and I just talked about Texas laying 4.5 against Florida. If you want to call me a homer, fine. I'm a homer, so I won't go into the weeds like I did in the previous segment, except to say that Texas gets some serious weaponry back on offense with Quintrevion Weisner back at running back. Emmett Mosley is ready to make his debut at receiver, and I feel like everyone's fading Arch Manning based on what we saw early in the season. I think he got over that mental block that he had against Sam Houston State when, you know, I know he was stepping over a defender, but he was just trying to get his confidence back after all of the expectations that he has heard during the preseason in his head a little bit. And I just don't know if Florida's going to be able to move the football against his Texas defense. DJ Lagway just has regressed as a quarterback. Billy Napier says he's had a good week of practice. Okay, whatever. We haven't seen anything this season to make me think he can have his way against that Texas D. So I will gladly take Texas minus 4.5 against Florida, even though the money is coming out on the Gators. It's kind of hard to do, though, when you see the money coming in on one direction and you're going in the other, Chelsea.
Yeah, but it's still only Friday. Like, it's Friday morning. Like, this could change a couple times, you know, before game time. And plus, I think a lot of it is, like, some people probably still don't believe in Arch Manning. But here's the thing. I think if Steve Sarkisian puts him in a good spot where you rely heavily on the defense and you don't ask him to do that much, I feel like they'll be fine here because that defense is still very, very good.
Yeah, I think so as well. I think that's really the key. And even though Florida is very good defensively, especially up front, they have a couple of injuries where two of their bigger bodies are out for the season. They're starting cornerback now out for the season because of a shoulder issue. So they're not as strong as they were maybe earlier in the year. Have one more play in the card. Cincinnati on the money line, just minus 120, hosting number 14, Iowa State. So this is one of those fishy lines, right? Why is Cincinnati laying a point and a half against the number 14 team in the country? That doesn't make any sense. I'll tell you why. This has to do with injuries, despite the fact that Iowa State is 5-0 overall and 2-0 in the conference. They just lost their top two cornerbacks, Jeremiah Cooper and Jontez Williams, out for the season. So when you look at the Cincinnati offense playing at home, Brendan Sorsby should be able to have success against that Cyclone secondary, and Cincinnati is one of the best teams in the country at finishing drives in the red zone. Also, on defense, they get back Dante Corleone on the defensive line. He is the one of the best defenders in the entire country in the trenches, so everything is trending towards Cincinnati. I think they can have success and upset Iowa State, which it wouldn't be an upset because Cincy is favored, but they shouldn't be, and that tells me that the Bearcats are the right side. So, I am on Cincinnati.
Ah, did you say Dante Corleone? I feel like that's a character in, like, a mob movie.
Exactly. Hope he plays like a mob boss on Saturday. That's what I need. Before we get to Sammy P, let's bring in the Donkster.
And the Lord said unto him, bring me a heifer.
Donkster, are you quoting a Bible verse? Is this an A.J. Brown impression?
No.
Well, then what does that mean, bring me a heifer?
It means I like them in all shapes and sizes.
Oh, God. Okay. Do you have a bet?
I do. Saints, money line, minus 125 against the Giants.
Okay. Whew. I'm glad that's over. Oh, look who's here. Just in time to save the show. Sammy P. Sammy, good morning.
The irony of saying heifer and then picking the Saints is unmatched. It's very funny.
That's the Donkster. He's, you know, sharp guy. Real sharp guy. He put a lot of thought into that.
Yeah. Right.
Now, here's the difficult part of me trying to change it to a football conversation. Okay, so I know you've spent some time in New England. How do you feel about the Patriots getting 8.5 this week against the Bills?
It feels like a big number, but I do this reverse survivor pool called Many Losers, where you have to pick a loser every week. And I do have the Patriots in that pool. So I don't think they're going to win, but I've been impressed with Drake May. I really have in the last month or so. They've gotten him to really take that next step under McDaniels. Are you thinking they're going to cover or win outright?
I think 8.5 is too much. I also think it's a good teaser leg. Because, like, 14.5 in a teaser? Because that's the thing about, like, Mike Vrabel coach teams is I feel like he will field competitive teams even against, like, the best teams in the NFL. We saw that in Nashville when he was with the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, the Bills are winning the division. The Bills probably win the game. I don't know that I really, as I get closer to the weekend, I don't love laying 8.5. And I can tell you this, wise guys early in the week, they came into Vegas and bet the Patriots. Took the 10, took the 9.5, took the 9. So you have some wise support on your shoulder, Chelsea.
Well, Sammy P, let me ask you about this because I feel like based on what you were talking about earlier in the week that I might be on the wrong side here. I like Vandy plus the 10.5, but I know you were saying on Bet Sweats that the number out in Vegas is, you know, they're willing to lay a lot more with Bama.
Yeah, one guy said he made the game 14, and another former bookmaker, here's the exact quote, they're not giving you what you deserve on Vandy.
Interesting.
So, you hear that from people that know what they're doing, and you're like, oh, Alabama's going to kill them, aren't they? And you're like, of course they are, because it's Vandy. They've also been thinking about this game all year, Jinx.
Yeah.
Mm.
Of course I'm on Vandy. Of course.
I saw Denton do this. Is Denton's on Bama, I take it?
Oh, yeah. He's all over Bama. And here I am, alone in a corner. Man, just right here.
Hey, that's where you need to be sometimes, Jinx. You know
hey,
that.
I'm going to be in the corner on my own, just fighting everybody off. Sammy P., good to see you, buddy. Have a great show. Well, that's it for us on the Daily Tip on the BetMGM Network. That's right, Double D. I'm not alone. We're on the Doors. For Chelsea Messenger, D-Day, Denton Day, Dylan Mitchell, and David Double D Dykstra, I'm Michael Jenkins. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.